are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Business. So we were looking at that, and then Tom came to one meeting, and we hit it off really well.
Yeah. You know, I've known Tom so long, I don't even remember when I met him.
That's great.
I think we crossed, which is the reason why I like talking to people like yourselves who have what appears on your have a very extensive background, but it's much different on the face here than mine. But I always like talking to people from different walks of life because it seems interesting that so many things they cross, and we have a lot of things in common, even though we're from different worlds sometimes.
That's true.
And I find that really interesting.
Yeah. His work with martial arts, and then my time with Navy special warfare and the training, crossed a lot of interests there.
It's kind of fun. The crazy thing is I've never been somebody who's like hung out with a lot of guys, and I don't talk to a lot of, I'm just not that kind of guy that needs buddies and all that kind of stuff. Never have been. But yet I'm social in a way, but Tom and I, we're like a couple of old women. We are constantly like talking to each other, checking up. We won't hear from each other for a while, and we'll like make a phone call, just checking, seeing how's it, and then we just pick up. It's kind of interesting that way. I've had a really good relationship with him. He's like a hell of a guy. Of course, he's a great martial artist. I mean, my goodness.
He is.
He is. Have you taken any classes with him by chance?
Not with him.
No?
When I got out of the military, my XO suggested that I just stop doing everything along that line because we were so intense. I was part of the Assault Ready group. And so we dealt with issues in the South Pacific and Pacific Rim for a duration. And so it was so intense, my XO suggested that all of us just completely stop living in that past.
Just shut down for a while, or just shut down, period, huh?
Yeah, so I started, as soon as I got out, I found another master to train with. And I could see that it just wasn't really good for my head.
Yeah.
And it was time to move on.
Yeah.
So I got into other things.
So obviously you were in the military then, and did you get, was it Army, Navy? What was it? Was Navy, right?
Yes, I was in the Navy.
Yeah.
And then, right behind me there.
Yeah. And then you, special warfare, what does that mean?
Special warfare is a group of people. Boat units, SEAL teams, EOD, underwater demolitions. Just a little special group of people with the Navy.
Yeah.
Combat sailors, we call them.
Oh, okay. I live with a roommate who became a SEAL. And, he was crazy before he went to be a SEAL. But when he came back, oh, man, he was really interesting after that. he was different. I guess it would be. I mean, some of the stuff that he told me, that was done and the training and everything. And when I played football, we had one of our training camps was at Coronado Island. And
really?
So we were on the base there. And it just so happened that the time that it's like a 2 week or 3 week training camp for us. It just so happened that when we were there, there were SEALs teams and there were some groups there training. So I got to see some of that stuff, it was insane. I mean, these guys every morning really early, you probably know all this. I mean, every morning really early, they were running with a raft over their head and, and then all the different things that they did, putting them in pools underwater for, oh my goodness. I couldn't believe it. It's crazy stuff. Huh?
Yeah. Crazy stuff. I lived on that base for 4 years.
Is that right?
Yes, right there in Coronado.
Oh, be darned.
Yeah. I was in the barracks right across from the handball courts.
Yeah. And then we went to eat lunch there in the barracks there. And the SEALs or some of the guys were doing drills. And there was a guy that was standing outside the mess hall, I guess, at attention with his arms behind his back. And we found out that these guys were not only were they forced to stay up for so many hours without sleep, But then they said that they were getting various commands from different generals to like disorient them, and I guess that was part of their drill.
Yeah, that's called BUDS. It's basic underwater demolitions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, we used to.
Hey, listen, welcome to Serious Growth Podcast.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming on today. I see here in your bio, a developer of real estate. It's the first thing you listed, a real estate transportation and communication systems. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what that means?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. I started off with my dad building houses and commercial buildings, and then went into the Navy. And of course, they always make use of whatever skills you have. So I built a special warfare maintenance building and designed it and built it myself. And then when I got out, I went back into real estate. I had completed my BEE in the Navy in electricity and electronics, and then was able to get into helping build a network around the United States and mostly in California on telecommunications. We built 22,000 miles of fiber optic cable, and then provided service to over 3,000 schools and businesses here in California. Along with that, I worked with Fleetwood Enterprises, and we had 50 manufacturing plants around the country, and we were doing 30,000 homes a month. So in addition to that, I was building and flipping homes myself, and building commercial buildings.
So you're like obviously you had your real estate license, and you were a contractor in the whole business, right?
No, it's funny. I was asked yesterday, so, you know, what is your background? I said, well, I'm an English teacher.
Oh, wow.
So I went to school for 6 years to be an English teacher.
Is that right? But did you ever teach English?
I did. I taught for a little bit, and then went into the Navy, and then completed my electricity and electronics, and so then I just never really got back to teaching. Back in the 80s, it didn't pay enough to support a family.
Yeah. So.
You know, so feed the kids.
Is this something that you do is it your own business? Are you independent or work for other people? How does that work with you?
I work fully independently at this point. My time working with the other companies is gone. I did enough. I always work on my own in conjunction with the other companies, but now working full time on my own.
All right, let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our product.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're gonna get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you big beyond belief in the Bulgarian power burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
And when you're developing fiber optics, you know, somebody like me doesn't really understand what that means. So what's, you know, when you're putting this in buildings, what exactly, if you can give it to me in layman's terms, like a third grader for me, you know, what does that mean actually? Cause it sounds very impressive.
Well, it's, you know, I can't compete with Al Gore. I didn't invent the internet, but, I did. So what we did was we found that building where, the whole thing started, which is called the data center. And a data center does three things. It connects one person to another. It has computers and it does computing, and then it does cloud storage. And so that's pretty much all that a data center does. So what we do is we connect that data center to your house. So this way you and I can talk on the computer. So in the telecommunication world, the, you know, one of the most important parts, of course, after the data center is being able to connect all these different users.
And that includes, you know, using your computer. How about telephone? All that stuff?
Well, sure. If it's VoIP, yes, voice over internet protocol, then that would be over fiber optics. So, you know, what you have is you have a data center, and then it'll start off perhaps with copper, and then it'll have what's called a handoff, and then it changes that either directly into a copper line or into a fiber optic line. So it goes from, you know, into digital format.
Yeah.
And then when it gets to your house, goes to your computer, it changes back to, you know, working with the copper and so forth. So what we want to do is create a rapid, the shortest amount of time lapse between the data center and your computer. That's called latency.
Okay. And then how does that coincide with AT&T and all those, you know, the phone companies out there, Verizon, that kind of thing? How do you, how do you weave into them, I guess?
Sure, exactly. It's, you pretty much have about five carriers in the world. So if you look at a telephone pole, up high, you'll see the power, and then down closer to the ground, you'll see several strands of looks like wire, but it's these days most of it is fiber optic cable. So it used to be back when we had did everything on the phone, there would be a copper line going from your office to called a central office, which would be what the what they had solely before there were data centers. And then those central offices would connect your phone call to me, you know, by way of an operator or a electronic switchboard. So what's happened is the fiber optic world has started running their own fiber. And now a lot of this is shared. Okay, so AT&T may have fiber optics where Comcast needs it, or any variety of the above. So most people are using the infrastructure to help each other out.
Okay. And what about security? How you know, I hear things like we're being watched through our TV. And again, I don't know if this even ties into what you're, you know, this fiber optics and stuff. I'm assuming it does, but is that real? I mean, is security an issue, and do you deal on that side of it?
Yes. Part of what I did in the Navy, I was the ComSec officer for Seal Beach Naval Weapons Station in Seal Beach, California. Pretty significant base for security, very important. And so I taught security there, and then taught it also in Coronado. So everything that Edward Snowden said is absolutely accurate.
That's right.
And far beyond. So
no kidding.
I was in a conference recently with some of the most significant people in cybersecurity. And I walked up to the fellow after his monologue. And so I said, David, you know, everything you said is nonsense. And he said, yes, I do. I said, okay, just wanted to make sure we were on the same page.
Wow.
So the whole idea of cybersecurity is it's non-existent. There is no way to detect someone being active on your line. They have ways of manipulating everything that goes on the fiber optic cable. So there is no such thing as cybersecurity. It's like the difference between water resistant and waterproof.
Really? So yes. If I'm understanding you, then there's nobody can I mean, I'm assuming there's somebody that can tap in that's running the behind the scenes, but you're just saying that this that is secure? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that there's no such thing as cybersecurity.
So is it,
I don't mean not real warm and fuzzy.
That's okay, because I just want to understand. So are we just exposed to a lot of stuff out there?
You know, there are people that are mining data. Saudi Arabia, for instance, knows as much about you as Google does.
Oh my.
It just goes on and on. So everything that goes across the airways is now wide open. It's everybody knows everything. There are no secrets anymore.
Wow. Yeah. Are you afraid to talk on the phone?
No, not really. A guy told me one time, it's not how much you accomplish, but how spotless you maintain yourself.
Yeah. I would think that would be a pretty difficult thing for me, though. I don't know about you.
You know, it's difficult for everyone.
Yeah.
We're human. We make mistakes. We do things that we're not proud of.
Yeah.
We try to make corrections, and that doesn't work well.
Yeah.
So the reality is we're all human. We're all in the same boat together. And we just have to accept each other's humanity.
Yeah. That's kind of interesting. So, you know, I've always been amazed at, I never, you know, like with this 9/11 and the stuff that's happened like that, I wonder how in the world, with all the chatter that goes across all these lines, how we're able to, I mean, obviously it's happened. These things do happen, but I'm surprised that it doesn't happen more. I mean, do we have, I mean, it, obviously we have that intelligence and we have the capability to stop stuff, right?
At some point it becomes information overload. You know, there's so much going on. All I can say is the people that are providing the security for our country are doing an amazing job. You know, we will never see what goes on behind the scenes. The reality of special warfare is that they are active, operating in over 180 countries, taking out two operations in each country every day that we live. So these things that we see, you know, whether, you know, we can read all of the conspiracy theories, but, you know, it's hard to really put your finger on what the truth is.
That is a true statement. You know, I think about that all the time. You know, with all the stuff that's going on, it's like, I don't even know what the hell's the truth or what's not the truth. You know, I start, you know, one of the things that I, how I get to the truth sometimes, for example, if I'm looking for a dentist, okay, in a town that I'm not in, if I ask enough people, I'm probably going to get, you know, this dentist, the same dentist who's going to come up that's either a really good one or one that's not, you know? So I think, okay, there's my truth right there. But I don't know, like with, you know, all this information that comes across, it's like, I don't even know where the hell I stand.
Yeah. 50% of them graduated in the bottom half of their class.
That's comforting. So,
yeah. And then the reviews are all slanted.
Oh, you know, God.
You know, it's their cousin or their.
I'm never going to be the same again here, John.
Yeah.
But, you know, you kind of think that sometimes. Some of these reviews, it's like, and then when you follow that review and then you have that total different experience, it's like, okay, this is BS for sure. Again,
yes.
I don't know what to believe anymore, you know?
You don't. We don't.
Sometimes it's just trial and error. You know, if it works for you, fine. If not, kind of like in training, you know, there's so many people out there in my industry, for example, that, you know, they just, if you ask 10 different people, you know, what's the best exercise or what's the best way to train for putting on muscle, you're probably going to get 10 different answers, you know?
True.
It's just like that. Same with nutrition and all that. And and what it comes down to, John, which is what I've always done, and I got this from my dad. My dad said, you know, it's hard, they're really difficult to replace firsthand experience. And Einstein said it a different way. He said real knowledge is through experience. Okay, so you got to do it yourself and make your own conclusion. I think a lot of times is the best way.
Well, you also have to look at, you know, the best thing to do is something. Okay, so like, for instance, weight loss. Okay, eat less, exercise more, and keep breathing, right? Yeah. So,
you know, I like the way you just make it real simple, John.
Yeah. You know, it may be do your sit-ups before your push-ups or something, but, you know, it doesn't matter. Whatever sequence you do them in,
yeah,
you're going to keep your heart moving and, yeah, you know, you stay in motion.
I had a coach more than one time. A coach would tell me, look, I want you to do something, even if it's wrong. Just do something. In other words, don't sit on your hands. And there's a lot of wisdom to that, right?
There's a lot of that, a lot of wisdom in that. Yes.
Yeah. The thing about this is, you know, as we get, I'm older, you know, obviously I've learned, we all learn as we get older, but sometimes it's just really hard to come across common sense, you know? And I think, you know, we overthink things and, you know, you're just kind of like pointing that out by just saying, okay, here's what you do. Bam, bam, bam. And you're probably going to be in pretty good shape that way, you know?
Absolutely. You'll stay in better shape than if you sat and watched TV all day.
Yeah, exactly. Do you work very much with CIA or FBI or anything like that in your line of work, I assume?
Our paths cross. You know, the typical thing about CIA is if the guy says he's CIA, he's not. So it's, you know, typically an FBI agent or whatever will have a badge and you can be pretty sure he's for real. But, you know, it's so yeah, our paths do cross.
I watch a lot of, my wife likes to watch all the CIA and we watch episodes on Netflix. So we're always watching the FBI, CIA, you know, all these different groups that are out there.
Yeah.
Oh God, that's funny. Okay, as you were growing up as a kid, let's go back a little bit. Were you an athlete at all?
Yes, I was. It was kind of funny because I worked very hard my whole life. My dad always kept me busy. So I had a paper route and I had to pedal a bike from the foothills to the mountains. And so carrying, you know, as much weight and paper as I had on my body, you know, helped my legs and strength.
Oh, yeah.
So I was in good shape, but I never learned the rules of sports. So, you know, quite often playing football, I'd have to look at the sideline and ask the coach which direction to go once I'd received the ball.
Oh, wow. You were that guy.
I was that guy.
Well, at least you asked the right question.
Yeah.
You know,
I did. I got the MVP my junior year in football, and I did okay. I lettered in three sports. So I guess that was good enough.
Yeah. What position did you play in football?
I was defensive center and offensive flanker.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Huh.
Yeah, a small school, you play both directions.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true. But it's just interesting the positions that you're playing. I mean, you're playing on one, you're playing defensive line, and then you're playing a flanker as a receiver. That's really interesting. I mean, if you told me you were playing – you know, defensive line and then offensive center or offensive tackle, I'm thinking, okay, that makes logical
sense. That would make sense.
Wow. You had so you were pretty fast. How much did you weigh when you were playing? And this is a junior year football?
Junior year, I was 198 pounds.
Well, you're pretty big.
Yeah. And I ran, I did the 100 in 9.4.
Holy crap.
That was fast.
No wonder you were playing flanker. And, I mean, being on the defensive line like that, you were probably past the guy before I even knew what happened.
Oh, often I would sack the quarterback three or four times in a row.
Now, that's fast.
That was fun.
There's fast, than that, but that's fast. That's probably faster than your fiber optics, I think.
Yeah, that would be something to be as fast as fiber optics.
Crap. Okay, so you played football. You played three sports. I played three sports as well.
Did you? Yes.
Yeah, football, basketball, baseball.
Which one did you like the most?
Well, I loved football because it was, you know, I grew up on a farm and a dairy, and we were raised rough and tough, and you know,
yeah.
So football was sort of a natural for me. What wasn't necessarily a natural was the position that I played. You know, I came at a time, John, just before specialty coaches were around. Guys like me, personal trainers that work with athletes. Yes. And we now can take an athlete's, you know, someone's training program and tailor it completely, not only to the sport that they play, but also to the position of the sport, which is where you start really developing somebody that really does create the competitive edge when you do that. You know, it'd be the difference. I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know because you're really a smart guy. It's like developing a fiber optic that's just general compared to something that's very specific to a need. I guess mm-hmm. I'm making it up, but
yeah, you know, so you were a quarterback.
I was a quarterback, and yeah, I'm not tall enough to be a quarterback back then, but I was a quarterback that should have been a fullback, you know.
Good.
But yeah. But I'm too. I'm a ball hog, man. I wanted to be a part of the game every single time. So
that's quarterback, right.
He gets the ball. He gets to touch the ball every single time, right?
Yeah.
So I was involved all the time in the game. And it turns out that, you know, as I was going through, and that's how I actually won my college position. Most quarterbacks at that time, we call them, they put like a, in practice, they'd put like a vest on them with a cross, like, you don't touch the quarterback, you know, yes. You know, one of those guys. I was the opposite of that. You know, I used to get and mix it up with all the running backs and coaches.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. You know, and say, get away from there. But I just love that contact, you know.
Yeah, me too.
I just loved it. I never went, you know, when I was running the ball, I never ran out of bounds. I always ran towards the guy. You know, I was that meathead, you know.
I like that.
I just love that. But I would have gone, I probably should have been a baseball. I probably should have, if I would have had a really, like a coach like I am now, because I help athletes determine based on their skills, their running skills, how tall they are, you know, their body types, I can actually tell somebody where they should be based on that. And and I train them for that because that's how you really create, you know, an athlete that transcends on the field and really excels instead of just training somebody just pure strength and saying, okay, go play. There's a major difference there. And it means more as you go up the scale and start playing with guys that are all good. You know, that's what creates that little edge, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
At the end of training one day, I asked my coach, you know, what else can I do? And he said, get man with ball.
So that's where you got all this. You're right straight to the point. Get man with ball.
Yeah. Get man with ball.
From your coach.
That's coach, yeah.
That's funny. How about a baseball player? What position did you play? Let me guess. Hold on. Don't tell me. You're the fastest guy on the field. You're a good athlete. I'm going to say you probably played shortstop, and you probably should have been playing center field based on how fast you were.
Center field, yes. Center field and left field, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, somebody who's fast like you. My son went on to play for the Kansas City Royals.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and he played down there. I'm sure you know this school, Cal State Fullerton. It's not far from you down there. Yeah. Well, he played down there, and this is when I got, you know, I was already training athletes, and, you know, I got a really big lesson down, you know, being around the pros and everything, because that's when I started realizing that every position had they had what was most important, what was least important at each position. And, you know, the center fielder, they didn't really care if he could hit a ton, but they wanted him to run balls down in the alleyways, right?
Mm-hmm.
The guys
mm-hmm.
in the corner, they hit with power. They don't have to be fast, but they got to hit with power. You know, that's how specialized the game actually got and is. Go ahead.
What did you do? What training did you do? Were you a physical trainer?
Yeah.
Exercise?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I ended up making a living out of this thing. Is I'm a personal trainer, but I have background in sports-specific training.
Yeah.
I have background in nutrition. The three components that really make the difference are weight training or resistance training, cardiovascular conditioning, and nutrition. Those are the three, only three components that one needs to manipulate, besides mental techniques. This is where Tom comes in. He's really big into that, as you probably know. But for me, it was about manipulating those three components based on what you needed as a, if you were an athlete, I was such a,
yes.
It always comes down to that, whether you're an athlete or somebody who's had a stroke. I had strokes 8 years ago, and I rehab myself, but it always comes down to those components. That's the common thing, always.
That I was going to ask you that. As we get older, it just, it's still those three components,
yep.
Isn't it?
Yep, never changes.
Vic Rakshani, he played for USC.
Yeah.
You know him?
Yeah.
And he injured himself and repaired himself.
Yeah. In fact, I was
by God's grace.
He was supposed to come on my my podcast, but all this stuff happened with the COVID, and we just haven't been able to hook up. Plus, he wasn't going to come down and try it out and do his the program that he has.
Oh, he has a fantastic place there at Hogue. Yeah, you'll enjoy that.
Have you gone through it?
Yes, I have.
Really?
I have one of my guys that go there regularly.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Does he have like a knee or an injury, obviously, that he goes there for?
He has a great program. This gentleman that works for us, with us, he fell off a telephone pole. And, he hurt himself really bad, badly. He broke multiple vertebrae in his back and neck. And he had been in pain for like 15 years. And Vic had him at full range of motion and pain-free in his lower back for the first time in 15 years. Only took him about 2 months.
Is that right?
2 months of training. Yeah, amazing.
It is amazing.
He did a really good job.
I'm going to have to rehook up with him, you know, because.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds it's funny that you and I know him. Do you know a guy by the name of David Miller?
I'm sorry?
You know a guy by the name of David Miller?
David Miller. Yes, I do.
He's a PhD in
nutrition. How do I know him?
PhD in nutrition. And anyway, I know David pretty well, and he's the one that actually talked to me and connected me with Vic.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, me darn.
Yeah.
Wow.
In fact, David's been on my – he was been on my podcast early on when I first started. We're at 74 podcasts now. He was probably number – 3 or 4 back then.
Yeah. Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah. Let me ask you, getting back to your what you do, is there anything like in my world, we talk about the three components that are a kind of the foundation of where we build from. When you're doing the stuff that you're doing in your line of work, whatever it may be, is there anything that's a foundation that you build from and then spread out?
You know, I always try to think about the end user, okay? Because, you know, when it all comes, you know, at the end of the day, it's you and me, okay? It's who's the customer and how are you providing a service? So if I'm developing a product or real estate or fiber optics, I'm thinking about who that end user is. How are they going to be able to use this service and how will, you know, this best be there for them when they need it. So in real estate, when I'm designing a building, I try to think about, you know, how each person is going to use that building, where their access points are going to be, their egress points, all these different things. When it's fiber optic cable, I try to think about the technician, you know, that's going to go back and repair that facility. You know, if I engineer this so that, you know, he's in a safe environment when he's working on it, on a pole or, you know, behind the curb face, you call it, you know, always try to think about the person. That's the most important thing in any design work.
Yeah. In that sense, you and I are kind of the same way, because you see, when I'm dealing with a person, I'm in a consultation. You come to me and you're telling me the things that you know, that are what your goals are, what your limitations are potentially. And so I do the same thing that what it sounds like what you're doing. You're fact finding. I fact find when I'm dealing with people to make sure that I come up with something that's just, you're just being very specific to their need. So
yes.
Yeah, that's something that I guess that you and I, even though we come from different worlds, we do kind of the same, I guess you would say.
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
As far as you being there, you said, for them now, as backup, are you, as part of your service, that you can reach me anytime you need? How's that work? Like, if I'm, you build something for me, like a, have you ever built like a smart home for anybody?
You know, that's something we're actually involved in right now. We have three products. One is the Renaissance home. The other is Pottery Senior Apartments and the Crown Point Community. Each one of those has a smart component. Each one is connected to multiple strands of fiber so that we can do the Internet of Things. You know, it's funny. Everybody always says, how are you innovative? And it's like, what is your most innovative product? Well, innovative means that you're finding out what that is tomorrow. It's not something you're currently solving today. So bringing communications to people is an ongoing endeavor. It's something that we work on every day. What, you know, we're constantly looking at how we can bring services to the people. So in our building, what we have is our residents, our market rate above the main floor. The main floor is focused on wellness and medical. So we have the immediate services that are provided for the people. This way, we make an affordable home. We provide all the services. Now, with that, we have a direct link to our service provider, like a Time Warner or Comcast, and we're able to use that to connect the person directly with their doctor. So working closely with some IT people in making systems where you can sit at your computer, communicate with your doctor. He can check all of your vitals the way you and I are talking right now. And you can monitor how I'm doing and keep accurate records, which is the most important thing in any kind of healthcare.
You know, that's interesting because it's been for the first time. And again, this is you know, talking to a doctor, about your health on a camera like this is really first time I've ever done it. It's because of the COVID, what's going on? Because you know, it's easier to be at home. Yeah, and it's really interesting that you know how technology has evolved. It's almost like it's a function of it, like it has to happen almost. You know, a lot of the stuff that's going on. But you know, John, it sounds to me like what you're talking about is actually a great thing for people who are getting older, because it almost seems like it maybe it keeps that person from having to go into a nursing home. Would that be
an accurate statement? The idea. Absolutely. So yeah. What you're trying to do is create a model for the age in place community. Okay. Because where do you want to live when you grow old? You know, well, you want to live the same way that you have your whole life.
Yeah. Exactly.
You don't want to live in a cubicle.
Right. That's so true.
And to take you out of whatever environment you're in now and put you in a nursing home, it raises the cost and lowers the service. Okay. Yeah. So what we want to do is create an environment where you can stay where you are and bring the services to you, or you live in an apartment building at market rate prices, but you have all of the services included in the building.
That's a cool deal, man. You know, it doesn't mean anything to me until now that I'm older, you know? I mean, and now, you know, sometimes it's hard to really relate. I know my dad, I'm talking about my dad. Both of my parents have now passed, but, you know, my dad was at a point in his life where we had to make a decision. Either he was going to come live with the kids, which he couldn't, because he had too many underlying problems where he needed 24-hour care. And I'm going to ask you about that after I make this little comment about the care. But you know something, John, what was really a hard thing was having to make that decision to send him to a nursing home. And I didn't realize how terrifying that must have been for him. I mean, you know, you can kind of relate, obviously, but now that I'm older, it's like, holy shit, you know, I do not want that to happen to me. And yet we put him there. I mean, we sent him there because we couldn't take care of him.
Yes.
So man, to think that you can hold on to a little more like what you're used to and, you know, have, I mean, it was sad you know, as you might know, to go into that nursing home. And yeah, it was a sad deal, but it was like the lesser of two evils for him. So can you see your, when you have somebody who's got extensive problems like that, that needs care, how does that going to factor into these smart homes? How would that work? How would that look then at that point?
Absolutely. And this is, I've had two assisted living buildings in Las Vegas, and one on Flamingo and Durango and the other on Washington and Lamb. But both of these facilities, what I realized was the transportation for an older person is probably one of the most difficult things. Okay, we can't see as well, we can't hear as well, but we still want to have some dignity about ourselves. And so here we are in our environment, but we need to go to the doctor, and transportation's a problem. And for the doctor, 60% of his business can be lost just due to transportation issues of seniors, okay? Right. Across the board, it's about 10%. But so what we did was we brought the medical services to the building, and we blend these together. So in the Crown Point community, the medical office building is attached to the senior living facility. And then in the Pottery, which is a downtown smaller building, the apartments are above the doctor. So everything is connected. So this way, mom and dad don't have to look for a ride to go to the doctor. They can just go down, get on the elevator, and go right to the doctor.
That's amazing.
And then if they're late for an appointment, you know, the doctor can send some, you know, we used to call them candy stripers. I'm not sure what they are now, but it could send someone to go get them and bring them in a wheelchair or help them on a walker or just come up and remind them.
Hey John, that's a game changer, baby. You're really making a difference, you know, in humanity.
So, I hope so.
No, you are. I mean, my goodness, I can see that easily, you know.
You know, one of the most interesting things is for our generation, you know, most of our moms and dads stayed together and had kids. But for people in our generation, 65% of us are single.
Right.
We don't have a spouse.
Right.
Okay. And 50% of us don't have any children. So who's going to take care of us?
Right.
So we're not going to be able to go to a nursing home or a convalescent. We need to be able to manage our own situation in our own environment. So that's what we're trying to do.
That's amazing. I mean, was this sort of a natural evolution as far as getting into that side of it for you? I mean, what made you want to go into that? Is it because you're getting older, or what took you there?
As a kid, our church used to take us to the convalescent centers, and we would sing for the people on Sundays and give them a little Bible story. And then as I got older, I went to college in Chicago, and I was active in the needs of the inner city people, including going to see the seniors in Chicago. And then it was just kind of natural. I started a development company, a real estate development company, and a gentleman asked me to redesign an office, a medical office. Mm-hmm. And so I went from that into designing a hospital and then owning the two assisted living buildings. And it was kind of a natural evolution, if you would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like that.
I think God had a path for me, and this is where it ended.
Let's take a quick pause to tell you about something you are definitely going to want.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're going to get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you Big Beyond Belief and the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
obviously we just really don't know what's going to happen in our lives, but do you think that you'll end up in one of your own places?
Oh, yes, definitely.
I mean, if you don't, I'm going to kill you, John.
And I want it to be a special place.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, look, if you have some extra time, don't forget about me.
I've already got it planned.
Good. I'm glad we hit it off that way. No pressure.
I'll tell you and Tom about it over breakfast.
Yeah. In fact, you know, I'm going to speak for Musella. Set something up for him too, will you?
Will do. Absolutely.
You know, maybe the three of us can watch out for each other. Who knows? You never know. I mean, my goodness, you were in Coronado Island, and so was I. You just never know how close we are. You know,
exactly.
That, that's right. 6 degrees of separation.
That's true. That's true. So we probably met at McPee's, right?
I'm serious about that. So what are you doing these days now? Where are you at now? I mean, I'm assuming you're doing this, like these smart homes, but what else are you, kind of where's your mind at right now? Where are you going with all this in your life?
You know, we're working on expanding the pottery model and the Crown Point model. So we don't want to just build one of these. We want to build multiple units across the country. So, you know, what's happening is we're transitioning now from the baby boomers into the millennial age. So we have to start thinking about, you know, what is the next generation going to need?
Right.
These buildings that we're creating for ourselves, are they adaptable? And, you know, when you study it, it's exactly the same thing. The only difference is you and I, the most important thing when we were teenagers was buying a car and being able to go somewhere.
Yeah.
So for the millennial age, they're not as caught up with the car, but they love the experience of travel. So if we can put a boutique hotel component with our buildings, then this millennial age will be able to go from building to building in kind of a timeshare fashion or a shared ownership. And they won't be tied to one building.
That's interesting. It almost sounds like those in Vegas, the different themes of hotels where you can have all these experiences inside of one big hotel, right?
Yes. Yes. One of the things I did was I got to help design and build the Amtrak Superliner back in the 70s. And so I would love to get back into that. I helped design three rail systems for South Korea. And, you know, I mean, the icing on the cake, if I can do it, I would love to link our buildings with a monorail.
Oh, that'd be great, huh?
Yeah, it would.
Yeah. Wow. You have an interesting life, John. Do you think that?
It's been a lot of fun.
I'm having fun. I'm enjoying your life by you telling me some of these stories. I mean, it's pretty amazing, you know?
I'm glad that we finally reached middle age, you know?
No kidding. You know, one of the things I get a sense from you, because I'm lucky that I'm in something that I love doing. You know, I was born and raised on a dairy, but you know, even in my culture, Portuguese, it was supposed to be left, you know, to the next generation, and I screwed that up. I broke that cycle, you know, and maybe you can understand this, and maybe you can't. But when you do that back in those days, it's like, bad boy, you shouldn't have done that. You know,
yes,
you're the outcast and the, you know, the rebel and all that kind of stuff. But John, I got into something that I love and I have passion for. And, you know, I know that you know this because I sense that you have passion for everything that you're doing.
And, absolutely.
And that in itself, that's one of the things I'm really lucky. I don't know how old you are. I'm 65 and I am so damn lucky because, you know, I'm excited about getting up every morning to do what I do, John. And
most
people don't get that luxury, I don't think.
Oh, that's true. I turned 64 a week ago. And so I told my wife I finally reached middle age and looking forward to the next 64 years.
I love it. If you need somebody to put you on a really good program, like a good exercise program, and don't just say yes. Don't forget me.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, I know what we can do. We can just set a smart home up and I can do all the training and the nutrition, and Tom can lie to us and teach us martial arts.
I like it.
And you can talk to us about fiber optics so I can finally get it.
I like it. We can do that.
There you go. John, before we go today, this has been very fascinating and interesting talking to you. You're an interesting gentleman. Is there anything that you would like to, on this podcast, would you like to promote anything and the things that you're doing?
You know, we're always looking for people to join us in our ventures. You know, we're looking for investors, of course. We invest everything that we make back into our products. Anything we can do to help the veterans. One of the projects we're doing in Pacific Palisades is Crown Point Pacific Palisades, and it's for 129 high net worth individuals on one side, and then the caregivers will be women veterans with children. So this will provide homes for 300 women veterans, and they will be trained in the nursing skills to help these people in the assisted living environment. So it's a real beautiful spot and a beautiful model of something that, you know, veterans who are, you know, built to serve. Our job is to help other people. And then so we can give that back to the women veterans that have served our country that now have children and live alone. We'll provide housing for them and education for their children. And this is something we're very much looking forward to.
Is there a website? Is there a website that people can go to get more information?
There is. It's you have to put it in the top line. It doesn't work in Google very well, but it's crownpointglobal.com. And so that's Crown Point. That's with no E on the end. Okay, so CrownPoint Global, GLOBAL.com. And it's a crude website, but it'll connect you to us. And then we can move forward from there if you'd like to participate.
Nice. We'd love
to have anyone help.
Very nice. Again, seriously, it's been really fascinating talking with you. And
my pleasure.
You know, maybe, like I said, maybe one of these days we'll cross paths again. I do really appreciate you taking the time to come on and talk with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Okay. Pleasure meeting you and look forward to our next visit.
Okay, John, you take care of yourself, okay?
Okay, you too now.
See ya.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.